Keeping in our theme for this month on conduct, by the way, for anyone who's visiting with us, we do a theme each month on either a word or phrase or something of that nature, and it's a good focal point for our studies, both short talks and the like, devotionals. And this month, it's the theme is conduct. There's a card like this, and it is available in the back if you would like to get a hold of that for your own personal Bible study. I was thinking about this topic and the correlation between conduct and temperament. Temperament is what shapes conduct. For example, a person with a naturally calm temperament is less likely to exhibit aggressive conduct, while someone with a highly reactive temperament may show impulsive or intense behaviors. So I thought, just by the definition of temperament, we need to see the correlation between that and our conduct and how it influences it. Conduct reflects temperament, but not perfectly. External influences, social norms, upbringing, stress, can modify how temperament manifests in conduct. A naturally introverted person, for example, might learn to act extroverted in professional settings. Conduct. So the moderating factors, emotional regulation, cognitive control, and social learning can weaken or strengthen the link between temperament and conduct. So I did a little research, and then I found, we'll read Psalms here in a little bit. I did a little research, and I found there's four categories for temperament and spacebar. Okay, there we go. And sanguine, I think I'm saying this right, phlegmatic, choleric, and melancholic. Did I say those right? Okay. That's a lot of big words. Don't ask me to spell them. And there are a lot of categories that they kind of show how they fall into different temperaments or behaviors, if you will. What some common temperaments, then I thought I'll drill this down because that's a lot. That's a lot there. Don't mean for you to remember that. But I was when I was researching this, I thought to myself, what are some of the similar temperaments between men and women, if there is a such thing? Personality psychology suggests that men and women share many common temperamental traits, though their expression can vary. These are some widely observed temperaments that both genders often exhibit: sociability, emotional reactivity, adaptability, activity level, and persistence. Now, how we react in each of these temperaments can make or break acceptable godly conduct, and that's really what we're here to talk about today. First off, what is godly conduct? We all know there's some familiar scriptures, and in the interest of time, we're not going to read all this. We're just going to go right to Galatians, but I put this up here for your reference. Ephesians chapter 4 through 5, all of it, talks about how we ought to live once adapting to this new life called Christianity. And so it gives some really good foundational principles for everyone from church and interacting with this new faith community to how we act at home with our families. But looking, and in Colossians, we'll do a little bit the same in chapter 3. But again, in the interest of time, we'll go to Galatians chapter 5 and read some very familiar, this is a very familiar reading for everyone. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and following. If I can get to it, thank you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if I did go to verse 20, no, I just stop it at verse 23. The one thing that I always thought was interesting about this scripture is that it says, but the fruit, singular, but names all of these attributes of that singular fruit. And the thing that I'm reminded of, and again, I don't know at what point, you know, you go through all these different lessons and then someone reminds you of what the scripture is saying. And you go, oh, well, for me, it was an oh that I want to share with you. It's a singular. It's not fruits. We don't get to take a bite out of part of what we can do here in that whole lineup of these things of joy, peace. You know, my temperament allows me to be joyful and peaceful, but I'm not very patient. As a Christian, you don't get to choose not to be patient because your temperament doesn't allow it. We have to let our temperament be subjective to God's will for us. And this explains a little bit more about what is acceptable or godly conduct. How we react in these temperaments makes or breaks acceptable godly conduct. So first, let's examine that. Temperament by in and of itself is not bad. Let me just go to this next slide here. Temperament is neutral by itself. It's how we manage it that determines whether or not the conduct is godly or ungodly. Now, for example, I've just, again, for the interest of time, laid out some things here. If you're impulsive, say you're like Peter, you're an impulsive person. You may have be quick to help, generous, and enthusiastic in service. That is your godly expression. But your potentially ungodly expression be rash decisions like cutting off an ear. Pause. Okay? Anger outburst, lack of self-control, impulsive. We see these personalities play out with even some of the disciples, right? If you're patient, your temperament trait is patient, a godly expression might be enduring trials and calm under pressure. I love those kinds of people. They usually get me right. Thank you, Jeff. That's free. I won't charge you for that. He's a lot more patient than I am. Potential ungodly expression, passive avoidance, enabling wrongdoing. Something that a patient person might need to regulate because sometimes that can also equate to not being, being conflict avoidant. Now, I don't want any problems. Okay? So even though there's a temperament trait, it can show up godly or ungodly. What motivates one to be in one bucket or the other is their willingness to submit to God's will. And again, in the interest of time, I ask the question, when temperament is submitted to moral and spiritual principles, it becomes a strength. Meaning assertiveness can be used for justice. But what breaks it is when temperament is unchecked or self-centered, it leads to ungodly behavior, meaning impulsivity and or leading to sin. So how can we transform temperament into godly conduct that is pleasing to the Father? First, we must be very honest about our temperament. And that varies, again, all of the things that bring that up or can be your upbringing, a little bit of trauma, your life and your influences and those who you grew up around. But we must be very honest about and recognize our temperament. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I think I have some there. Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And then verse 5, it teaches us to examine yourself and to see whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. The very idea that we're supposed to examine ourselves is biblical. A self-assessment, we as Christians, this should not be a heavy lift for us to do a self-assessment, to do a heart, head, and deeds check from time to time. What's interesting is, before I can go to tell a little story, before I got hired on at OPPD, they had me do a personality test. And for some of you, you may have gone through this. Maybe it was Myers-Briggs. That's a very familiar one. And it gives you your four letters of the personality that you are. And then I had something called an, I almost said ergonomics, thinking about, what am I, eugenics? Is it eugenics? There's another test that goes into, and you ask, answer a lot of questions. And then they give you a chart, and it shows you how much of this, a pie chart. And it's, I was going to share that with you, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But then it shows you how much of a conceptual person you are, a thinker, and how you think and how you behave and interact with others. And then they try to build teams around this model so that people can work well together based on their personality. That might, and I mentioned that just to say, might be a fun exercise to do a quick little personality to know thyself, right? Know thyself. Not just the reactionary personality test that you get from your husband or wife. Pause, and I look this way. That way you can't see me judging you. Okay, that's all right. Because they can tell you. They don't even take that test. I'll tell you how you are. Because, isn't that right? That's what they, yeah, that's us. But I'm talking about it, yeah, that part. But an official test, you know, do one. What's interesting, what was very courageous about this test is when I read it, I was like, huh, I'm like that? And I couldn't refute it. It wasn't Nardia telling me I was that way, so then I couldn't rip my defenses up. It was actually the test. I answered the questions. I was the only one in the room. And then I got to read who I am. And then they said, here's something you might want to look out for. And I thought, huh. Okay. And that helped shape my attitude when I got into work as a leader of people. There are certain things that I like to have done that really I need to regulate. I have to regulate my need for order. Because I'm time perfection. If you've heard this expression, perfection can be the enemy of good. Have you heard that? And so that's something I have to dial back a little bit so I don't misconduct my light as a Christian, if that makes sense. Okay? Let's look at Psalm 139 again. We're going to jump around because some of these you're aware of, but in the interest of time, I want to go to Psalm 139. And let's look at verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A heart that is truly desiring to follow God's will subject itself to the will of God and ask God to help you with your temperament, help you know yourself. There's one thing for someone to tell you something about yourself. It's a whole other thing to accept it and start to embrace it and say, okay, this is both an opportunity, okay, and maybe a weakness in my temperament that is keeping my light from shining as a Christian. All right, so once we kind of surrender that will to God, did I already go there? Surrender, that's the next one. I'm looking ahead of my slides here. I got to get used to the coordination. Once we do our self-assessment, the next step is to surrender to God. Now, we hear about this all the time. We know how important it is to surrender to God. If you didn't surrender to God, you wouldn't be here today. As a Christian, you know what it means to surrender to God. What does that look like in your everyday when your temperament is what you need to surrender to God? So, well, I've given my life, I became a Christian, and here I am. Yes, but there's more to it. Because why did you have a conflict with that person at work? Why butting the heads? Why are you angry with your son or daughter or husband or wife? Because after you became a Christian, you were still a human and you were interacting with people with the temperament that were varied, right? So we have more that we need to do to submit ourselves to God, to show a repentant heart, a change of heart resulting in a change of action in the way we interact with one another. We must pray for guidance and surrender our natural tendencies to God. Ask yourself, how would God want me to express or react in this moment? And see if that doesn't change the trajectory of your response mechanism. Luke chapter 9, I think I got some up here. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You know, one of the expressions they have today is the word triggered. Have you ever heard that expression? What triggers you? There are some things that get me triggered. You do something and it hits my core. You know, and when I say triggered, that usually means instead of a calm, logical response, I'm probably going to be emotional and kind of just a little bit wilding out, right? Going, you ever go from 0 to 100? That's after you've been triggered. Okay? Those types of things, you need to know yourself. When that happens, examine that. Study it. Write it down. And then go to God in prayer, submit to His will, and read scriptures like what we have here. The next scripture, what did I want to do? Luke chapter 9. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, the operative word is daily, because if you're reading this and you're thinking about, oh, yeah, that's what I did when I became a Christian. I took up my cross. I became a Christian. But daily? Daily means our everyday behavior, our everyday conduct. Requires us to bear up under some things. And sometimes what we're bearing up under is denying our temperament, denying our tendency to go off and be nice and play well with others. Sometimes it's helping others. You know, I guess that's, of course, noble cause, but I'm trying to examine self in this approach. Daily and follow me. So if I take up my cross daily and follow me, meaning Jesus saying follow him, then I'm doing what I need to do to let my Christian light shine. Not follow my spouse, not follow my friend over here, not follow my boss and what their will is, but follow Christ and how he would want me to respond or react in a situation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I think Jeff had a very good expression this morning when he talked about how important it is for us to beware and be careful about the idea of just sort of coasting spiritually. We're just going to coast our way into heaven. We became Christians and we don't really have to do much else. It's just gonna happen. Okay? Well, no, it doesn't just happen. There has to be intentional effort toward us. Our behavior, our attitude, our actions, our conduct have to be intentional. When Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, again, familiar scriptures, nothing new to anyone here. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's a change happening when you submit your tendencies, whatever they are, especially if they conflict with letting your light shine as a Christian. When you submit that to God, you will transform who you are. Some people might see you and say, oh, what happened to him? What happened to him or what happened to her? Anybody ever say that to you in your Christian life? Well, they're different. Well, you don't want, you how come? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind that by testing, there's that word again. I think that's interesting. Testing, temperament, that's free. I won't charge you for the correlation there. Testing, you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. We all experience a repentance that led to a conversion to Christianity. How does our belief in grace, in the grace of God and his higher expectations on our lives, shape us into the Christians that he has called us to be? Because that is a lifelong journey. And it has to be intentional behind our behaviors and our conduct. Lest we think that because we became Christians, all we have to do now is coast. I don't really have to do anything. So, what else must we do? We have to be on guard. Surrender to God. Did I go backwards? I did that one, didn't I? I didn't tap it hard enough. There you go. All right. Lastly, and this is, I believe this is second to the last slide, and then we'll be done. Everybody got to see how Gary's short talk is. It's like a mini sermon. The visitors don't know. But I don't appreciate the judging eyes of those who do. Okay? I see your temperament. Stop playing with me, all of you. We have to be courageous about guarding against ungodly expressions. Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. Again, we won't be reading all of this. I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. That's interesting that we would have to, you know, when I think of vigilant, I think of valor, I think of war. I think of something steadfast. Heart stop right here. Guarding. Be very vigilant. It's not, oh, well, maybe. It is. It's a firm word. It's very active. And I just, let's look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verses 3 through 5 on this one. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Pause. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it, yet my prayer is continually against their evil deeds. You know, when you get corrected by an elder, going back to, I'm pulling some excerpts from the lesson this morning. You get corrected by an elder because you've got a faith community here, and they're telling you, hey, your conduct is not quite on point. Biblically, you need to align that with more of what God's will is and less of what your tendencies are. When that happens, let righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. How do you get kindness out of being struck? I don't know. But if you decide to submit your tendency of impatience, your tendency to want to be right, You submit that to God, then you would see someone correcting you when you're wrong as kindness. That's a different kind of temperament. That's the one that God wants us to have. We must be courageous about guarding against ungodly expressions. When we see them or feel them happening in us, when we feel like we might be getting triggered, say, that's the devil. That's the devil trying to keep me from being righteous, from being a better person than I was before I became a Christian. Here it is. It's all, but they don't know. They don't know my life. They don't. I was raised when I. Okay, we're trying to deny all of that, right? Your life and how you were raised and that abuse and all of that doesn't come along with a living sacrifice that is bearing its cross daily to be the kind of example that God has called us to be. So, I'm going to skip the rest of those because I think mouth, heart, and deeds really nailed it. Did it not? All right. Last slide. This time I promise. You have to be in good company. If you're going to make an assimilation to God's will for your tendencies, meaning how you were raised, how you respond to certain things, if you're going to transform that kind of person into one that God would want, you've heard the expression, you need Jesus. Have you heard that before? Well, this is what Jesus looks like. It's the community of all of you who I can call if for some reason my tendency gets the best of me. And ask Jeff, ask Gay, ask Ray, ask Cheryl. You got a couple of phone calls, did you not? Because I was not being the kind of Christian that God had called. I even called you before. I think I had to lean on you one time. Because we ought to want to live a better life than we had without Christianity. We should want a better temperament than we had before we met Christ. So, we must seek out accountability partnerships, mentors, faith leaders, and truly devoted friends who will tell you when you are behaving ungodly. And when they correct you, calm, acceptance. And own your new and improved godly temperament. Proverbs 13 and 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm, the Bible says. He said, well, I don't know the Bible like they do, and I'm not like Jeff. He's very calming. I don't know anything. Well, hang out with him every now and again. It's interesting how some people will explain away how their temperament isn't like them. I wasn't raised like this, or I wasn't raised like that. I don't come from that background. I get that. That's not an excuse. Because if you believe what the Bible teaches, that he's given you everything you need for life and godliness, then you can let go of what you don't need to make heaven your home. So, mind the company that you keep and surround yourself with good and godly people. When I knew we had good and godly people in this congregation, I placed my membership. Not knowing that someday, maybe, I don't know, when my tendencies get the best of me, I know that this congregation and their desire and their love for their anchor to biblical principles was going to save my life, save my marriage, save my job, save me from myself. And it has happened. I kid you not. It has happened. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33, and the lesson is yours. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, I say to your shame. I love that scripture. We have to put even boundaries on some people who want to be in our lives, but maybe they have bad temperaments. Oh, but they're a good person. A good person with bad temperaments. You know how many people are in jail right now because they hung out with a person with a bad temperament? You know what I mean? Good by whose standard? So, I hope this lesson encouraged you to know that this Christianity thing goes deeper than just being converted as becoming a Christian. This whole idea of bearing one's cross goes different when you look at it daily in your work life, in your personal life, home, school, family. And for it, God has really given us everything we need. But we've got to realize who we are. Even in our weaknesses, we've got to realize who we are. And subject that to God's will so that we can be better Christians than we were without it, especially as it relates to our temperament, our natural tendencies. I hope this lesson was an encouragement to you. It certainly was to me. I'm sorry it took a little longer if that's because I didn't rehearse it, but thank you for being patient with me. If there's any need for the invitation song, please come forward while together we stand and sing.